we're going to start looking at this, if you would read along with me. It says, "Thus the Lord said to me, 'Go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water.' So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, 'Take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise and go to the Euphrates and hide it there in a hole in the rock.' So I went and hid it by the Euphrates as the Lord had commanded me. Now it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go to the Euphrates and take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there.' Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I'd hidden it, and there was the sash ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not hear." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you right now and I lift this passage to you. I lift this understanding to you. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this place and you would teach us, you would show us, you would guide us, convict us, draw us, encourage us. Whatever comes from this passage, Lord, it comes from you. And so, Lord, I lift it to you now and I praise you for bringing it to us. May it never be my message, Lord. May it always be yours. In your name I pray. Amen. Do you ever get to a point when you wonder what you were created for? It's one of those things that, yeah, we've always heard it. We know, you know, we've heard in the Bible. We've heard in Sunday school. We've heard in youth and in church, Bible studies. We've heard that we were created for God. But at some point in your life, I would almost bet, maybe sometime in the last week, I bet you have got to a point to think, what am I here for? What am I created for? What is the purpose of me having this job, living this life, in this town, in this state, in this country? God, what is my purpose? I don't see it. So this morning we're going to talk about your purpose. And we're going to take it from this passage as we look at this, because I want you to understand, like you've always heard, I used to always tell the youth, you're created for two things, to witness and to worship. But I think there's more. As I'm reading here in this passage, we're created to make Him known. We're created to praise Him, and we're created to honor Him. That's what you were created for. Now, whatever you're doing throughout the week, I don't care where your job is at. I don't care what member you are in the family. I don't care what sport you play. I don't care where you're at. You were created for those three things. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you were to rate yourself, how would you be doing? Man, early in the week, I thought I was up in the sevens to maybe even an eight. Last night at 9:30, I thought I was about a one or a two. Because things go up and down in our life. But how you're created and what you're created for, don't get your value on what's around you. Get your value from what was paid for you. That's where we're at. And we're going to look at this because we were created to do those things. Do those things come naturally? No, if anything, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Instead of me honoring God, a lot of times my nature doesn't want to honor God. The things that I want to choose to do because of my human nature don't bring honor to God. And as far as praising God, that's something that we do here We spend time together praising God here, and you may spend time praising God in your car and in your Bible study and in youth and different things like that. But are you praising God in the middle of your workplace? That's easy for me to say because this is my workplace. But my workplace is also at the coffee shop. My workplace is also at a ball game. My workplace is also anywhere I am. Because we are called to work for God. We are to honor Him and praise Him in our workplace. Doesn't come natural. Because too many people out there don't want to hear it, and we don't want conflict. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I just don't like conflict"? And we're afraid that that's going to bring up conflict. And then the making Him known. We are to let other people know. Not just that we believe in God, because that's easy to do. I can tell people, maybe by a cross that I wear or a t-shirt that I wear or the fact that I'm carrying my Bible, or I may just be able to tell people easily that I believe in God. We're supposed to praise Him and honor Him and make Him known. And that's got to go pretty deep. That's got to go beyond where we are on that superficial level. It's got to go to the point of where I see what they need. And I know what He has given me. And I know where He's brought me from. We have to be honoring Him, praising Him, and making Him known to this world. Now, it's easy for me to make Him known to you. But it's a whole lot different when we're out there and people don't want to hear it. But that's what we were created for. Well, you know, as we look at this passage, we see this linen sash. And it was something that they would decorate themselves with, and they would tie it around their waist, and it would be that ornament of fine linen that would show that they had this honor. And it says that God told Jeremiah to go and buy one. Doesn't tell him where he got the money. Doesn't tell him. It just says go and purchase. Go and acquire a fine linen sash. So he does that. He goes and he finds this nice sash. And he's thinking, wow, what is God having me buy this fine linen sash? I'm just Jeremiah. And so he has him buy it. He has him tie it around his waist and so people could see it. And then what does he do? He sends him to the Euphrates, which is a long ways away. And he sends him over there and he says, bury it in the cleft of the rock. Get down in a rock, down in a hole. Bury that nice sash and leave it there. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense, but he did it. And then he says after some time, go back and dig it up. So Jeremiah goes back to the Euphrates and he digs it up. And when he pulls it out of the ground, it's just spoiled. It's been in the dirt, in the water that goes through the dirt, and the bugs that are in the dirt, and everything that's there, and it becomes unusable. It's unfit for anybody. It is not able to use for the purpose for which it was bought. So Jeremiah is looking at this sash and he's saying, my beautiful linen sash is now useless to me. As we see that, I want us to take and I want us to look today at us. You know what you were created for. We already talked about it. You are that beautiful linen sash. God created you for the purpose of bringing Him glory. You are wrapped around His waist, as it were, in this passage. And you are there. He has purchased you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, a fine linen sash wasn't something that would be cheap. You weren't cheap. Jesus Christ paid the price, the ultimate price. The blood of Jesus Christ was spilt for you to purchase you. You were to create God. He created you, but then He went out and He had to purchase you. Because what happened is before you knew it, you found yourself a long ways from your owner. You found yourself, and the way it's actually written, the Euphrates was so far away from God's people. And the mindset of, you were over by the world. You were in the midst of the filth over by the world. So you have to understand that when He bought you, you were in the middle of filth. You were in the middle of the world. You had been there for some time. Some of you may have accepted Christ at a young age. Some of you may have accepted Christ older. Some of you may not have accepted Christ yet. But until that point that you accepted Christ, you are away from God, near the world, in the world, in the midst of filth. What use are you to God? Man, I was not useful to God in any way. I was unclean. I lived of the world. And I was useless to Him. But you know what? Even though I was all of those things, I was still loved. I was still loved that the Master was going to go seek me out. He was going to go back and dig me out of that hole, dig me out of that rock, and bring me back. And as He looks at me, He sees, at first, that filthy linen cloth that's good for nothing. But He loved me enough not to leave me that way. Because you see, not only did Jeremiah have to buy this cloth, and then the next thing you know, it's dirty and filthy and useful. God said, go back and dig it up. In spite of the filth, go back and get it. Go back and bring it home. And so He goes back to get it and bring it. And it doesn't tell us in this passage, but I wonder what Jeremiah did with this linen cloth. You think he just threw it away? I don't think so. Because I think God shows us in the New Testament exactly what He would have done. And if He's the one telling Jeremiah what to do with this cloth, I think it probably goes along with what Jesus did for us. Because we were filthy. We find ourselves under the rock. He sought us out. The Bible tells us in so many places that God sought us out. He would leave the 99 in the open and go and look for one. Because that one was valuable enough to Him. You were valuable enough that He was going to seek you out. He was going to go dig you individually. You're the only one under that rock. You're the only one down in that mud and mire. And He's going to go out and He's going to dig you up and He's going to bring you home. Because He wants to cleanse you. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will do that, He will cleanse us. He doesn't want to leave me as that useless, slimy linen cloth. He wants to cleanse me. The only thing that can do that is the blood of Jesus. So He seeks me out. He wants to cleanse me. Why does He want to cleanse me? I'm just Steve. Why does He want to cleanse you, is what you think. You're just you. Everything I've done in my life, why would God forgive me for that? The things that I've done, I've spat in His face, I've rebelled against Him, I've turned my back on Him, I've done all these things that we can think of, and He still loves you. He doesn't want to leave you as that slimy cloth because He has something for you to do. He wants to take you from this non-profitable, useless, slimy linen cloth to a people or a person for renown. He wants to make you. He wants to use you to let people know that He's there. Now, you can stay that slimy cloth, or you can allow Him to cleanse you. And if, like it said, if you'll confess your sins, He'll cleanse you. He wants to cleanse you so you will praise Him. Do you praise Him? He wants to cleanse you so you bring Him glory. If Jeremiah had taken that slimy linen cloth sash and tied it around his waist and walked around, how would that have looked? No, he would have had to have cleansed it for it to be useful again. Because He has something for it to do. We can read several scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that He has plans for us to give us a hope and a future. We know that we're supposed to offer our bodies. Romans 12, we're supposed to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. We're supposed to do all of those things. But the key to this, as I'm looking at this passage, and I want to focus on this. He created, He bought you, He sought you, He's willing to cleanse you, and He has a plan for you to be used. So I left one thing out in that list. If you were writing those things down, there was one thing that had to take place. The linen cloth didn't find itself under the rock, but that's where it ended up. You and I have to find ourselves where we're at. You and I have to realize where we're at. Now, maybe you're not under a slimy rock somewhere far, far away from God, buried in the world. Maybe you're just walking along in religion. Maybe you're just not where God wants you to be. And I thought about this early this morning. Because so many times we think, you know what, at least I'm not that slimy old linen sash. You know, I tried to get my shirts and everything, and I didn't wear a tie today. Sorry, apologize. I figured somebody's going to bring it up sometime. But I always try to get my shirt ready, and I iron it the night before, and I get it ready. And I hate when I iron a shirt, excuse me, on Saturday night. I get up Sunday morning, and I go in, and it's got one little smudge on it. That aggravates me so bad. Because that one smudge, you probably never see it. I wore this shirt one time, and when I got to the back door, somebody shook my hand and said, "Well, I didn't realize that shirt had polka dots on it." If you can't see the polka dots on my shirt, then you're not going to see the smudge, right? But to me, I knew that smudge kept it from being clean. So many times we think as long as we are not slimy, as long as we are not that sash that's been pulled up out of the mug and mire, I'm okay. Because I can just take my tie, slide it over and cover the smudge. I've tried that. It doesn't work. But that's what we do spiritually. We're okay if we think we can hide that smudge, just tuck it in a little farther, they'll never see it. We try to just be okay with a little smudge. That's the hardest part. When a person is filthy, this past week, Tyler came up and he crawled underneath the stage to run wires. I wish you could have seen him when he came out of that door. He looked like, I don't even know what he looked like. He's a great-looking kid, but when he came out from under there, he looked like a dust bunny. I mean, he was covered, and he knew he needed to go get cleaned up. But, you know, I'm standing here with a smudge on my shirt at the same time, and I never thought I needed to go get cleaned up. I figure I'm good. I look better than Tyler did. That was first time ever. But I looked better than Tyler because he was covered in filth and I just had a few smudges. But you know, Jesus paid to get rid of the smudges too. Jesus is not okay with the smudges. We're going to make mistakes. I'm going to sin. I'm going to fail. But we have to understand that we shouldn't be okay with those sinful smudges in our life. We should turn them over to Him. And when I see a new smudge, I should do something. This past week, I went out and I tried to use a chainsaw. And I thought, well, I'm just going to cut up some limbs in my yard. No big deal. It blows oil on my pant leg of my good jeans. And I mean, it's right there and it's obvious. Now what I did, I just tossed them in the dirty clothes. My wife's like, well, why didn't you let me know so I could pre-treat them? So I pull them out after they've been washed. Guess what? It's still there. And so we take and we try to pre-treat them again. The thing is, I thought, oh, it'll eventually work its way out. That oil will come out. Man, it had to have some pre-treating to come out. It had to have some purposeful scrubbing sometimes. Now, you understand where I'm going with this? Because you and I, we just think that sin is going to eventually flush out of our life. No, man, that oil, that sin that's in our life, is just going to collect a little bit more dirt. And a little bit more dirt. And before you know it, it's not just here, it's here in our life. We want to just say, well, you know, that sin, at least I'm not covered completely dust bunny style. It's just a smudge. But before you know it, that smudge has ruined those jeans. Before you know it, that smudge has brought me to where I'm the same as that slimy linen sash. Because I'm okay with a little bit. He created me. He bought me. He sought me. He wants to cleanse me. But I'm okay with having some smudges. Well, you know why the world is not crying to get in here? Because you and I are okay to have the smudges that the world have. We're okay to have those smudges, and until I start cleansing myself, I can't ask anybody else to. It has to come down to me. For you, it has to come down to you. Understand the price He paid to get you clean, to get me clean. And we are okay with being dirty, with being sinful. Well, it's just a little smudge. Hey, it only takes one sin to cause us to fall. It only took one sin to nail Jesus Christ to the cross. You and I have to understand the price that He paid. He paid because He loved us. He sought me, and He bought me. Now, we think everything's okay. I want to ask you this question. This is what's been on my heart probably all week, jumping back and forth from two or three messages, is are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him? He says, and I don't know how many scriptures that I had went through and looked, you know, and of course nowadays you can push a button and go, hey, 17 verses that have this, you know. So it's not like I spent a lot of time. But I looked up these verses and it all talked about how we're supposed to seek God's face. But how often do you and I seek God's face on a daily basis? Now, I'll go of a morning and I'll sit down and I'll listen to my scripture and I'll read my scripture and I'll pray. And I'll go and I'll come up here and I'll study and I'll come up and walk and pray and I'll go through my normal daily whatever I do. And you'll go through your normal daily whatever you do. But have you sought the face of the Lord? Have you really sought the face of the Lord? This is what He did for you. This is what he did for me, and I give him 30 minutes a day? If we don't pray, nothing else happens. Have you ever thought about going out and playing golf without a golf ball? Probably not going to work. But that's the same mentality. If you're going to try to live a Christian life without a continuous prayer life, because a prayer life shows us, shows Him our need for divine resources. And I'm not talking about just give me this, give me that, I need this, I need that. That's not what I'm talking about by divine resources. I'm talking about you and I can't live without Him. You and I can't make it through this life without Him. Oh, well, there are a lot of people making it through life without Him. No, there are a lot of people existing, waiting on the gates of hell without Him. We have to understand that it comes down to my relationship with Him. It weighs on prayer. If you evaluate your prayer life, that will tell you where your walk is. That will tell you where your walk is. Because I can read the Bible and I can understand what He's saying, but am I willing to talk to Him? Am I willing to take time to talk to Him? If we don't pray, we don't care. And I'm talking praying for the lost. If you don't pray for the lost, you don't care about the lost. Oh, Pastor, I do too. Then prove it. Get on your knees every day and pray for them. Because the Bible says that we're supposed to pray with the Scripture. And the Scripture says that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but all should have eternal life. That's the will of God. Now, is that happening? No, because He gave us a free will to choose to serve Him. But He also gave me the responsibility to pray for the lost. To seek and to save the lost was His will. He passed His will on to the disciples and to us, that we are to do that. And if I don't pray, you're golfing without a ball. Where do you find yourself? Under the rock? Covered by smudges? In the middle somewhere? Because none of us are as clean as we should be. And unfortunately, when we get down and we read this book, it's like pre-treating that pant leg. It takes some scrubbing. It's not always comfortable. Because He's going to take things out of your life that shouldn't be there. And sometimes you and I don't want to let them go. We want to hang on to those things. And so He has to scrub them away from us. Because He wants us to be useful. He wants us to be clean. He sees us as righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. He sees us as righteous. But there's this process of sanctification, that cleansing that has to take place so that I can be more like Jesus Christ. That will never be complete until I stand before Him. But I can't be satisfied to be smudge covered. Spiritually. So wherever you find yourself, remember these things. He created you. He bought you. He sought you. He wants to cleanse you so He can use you. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for Your Word. We ask, Lord, that You would move in each of us as individuals. God, show me my smudges. Lord, I pray right now that You would do what You have to do to cleanse me, to cleanse us, to use us. Father God, speak to us now. Holy Spirit, move in this place to where we come into an encounter with You that changes our life. In Your name we pray. Amen.